Now, my boy, when these two independent groups of terrestrial beings multiplied, and in accordance with the usual aim of all communities there during all periods of their existence, acquired every variety of effective means for reciprocal destruction, they began carrying out these processes with other independent communities, for the most part, of course, with less powerful communities, and occasionally between themselves. Here it is very interesting to note that during intervals of peace between these two communities, who were almost equal in the possession of efficient means for reciprocal destruction, the beings of both these groups, whose places of existence were close to each other, often came into contact and had friendly relations, with the result that little by little each picked up from the other those specialties that had originally been invented by their ancestors. In short, the result of the frequent contacts between these two communities was that the Greek beings, borrowing from the Romans all their refinements of sexual turns, began organizing their what are called Athenian knights, while the Roman beings, having learned from the Greeks how to cook up sciences, composed their later very famous Roman law. A great deal of time has passed since then. The inventors of both those kinds of being manifestation have long since disappeared, and their descendants, who chanced to become powerful, have also disappeared. Yet now the contemporary three-brained beings of that planet fondly dedicate more than half of their existence and the being energy they have acquired to absorbing and actualizing somehow or other, unconsciously, and sometimes even consciously, those two ideals whose initiators were the bored Asiatic fishermen and shepherds. Well then, my boy, later on, it seems, when both these groupings of your favorites had acquired many of the aforementioned effective means for the successful destruction of the existence of beings like themselves, and had become past masters at persuading or coercing the beings of other countries to exchange their own inner convictions for the ideals invented by their ancestors, they first conquered the neighboring communities situated on the continent of Europe, and afterward, with the hordes they had collected during this time, they turned toward the continent of Asia. And there, on the continent of Asia, they first began spreading that maleficent influence of theirs among the beings populating its western shores, in whom, as I have already said, being impulses for a more or less normal being existence had been instilled for centuries, and then they gradually began to advance into the interior. Their advance into the interior of the continent of Asia met with great success, and their numbers constantly increased, chiefly because the learned beings who had been in Babylon were continuing to infect the reason of beings everywhere on that continent with their Hasnamusian political ideas. What also helped them very much was that there were still preserved in the instinct of the Asiatic beings the results of the influence of the initiates and priests, disciples of the very saintly Ashiata Shiamash, who through their sermons had inculcated one of the chief commandments of Ashiata Shiamash, which declared, "Do not kill another, even when your own life is in danger." Profiting by this, these former fishermen and shepherds could advance very easily, destroying on their way all those who declined to worship the gods they themselves had adopted, that is to say, their fantastic sciences and their phenomenal depravity. These sowers of evil for all the three-brained beings of all succeeding generations arising on the continent of Europe, especially the Greeks, moved into the interior of the continent of Asia, progressing slowly, to be sure, yet effectively. But when sometime later there appeared at the head of these hordes that arch, vainglorious Greek, the future Chasnamus Alexander of Macedonia, there began the clean sweep of the last remnants of the results of the very saintly intentional labors of our now common cosmic most saintly Asiata Shiamash. After which, it was again, as they say, just the old, old story. Although each time the place of the center of culture of your favorites has changed, a new so-called civilization has arisen, bringing for the beings of succeeding epochs some new maleficence, nevertheless, not one of these many civilizations has ever prepared so much evil for the beings of later epochs, including, of course, the present one, as that of the famous Greco-Roman civilization. Without mentioning many other lesser psychic features, unbecoming to three-brain beings, and now existing in the presence of your favorites, that civilization is chiefly to blame for the complete disappearance, especially from contemporary beings, of the possibility of crystallizing in their presence the data for sane, logical mentation, and for engendering the impulse of being shame. In short, my boy, the ancient Greek fantastic sciences were the cause of the complete atrophy of the former, and the ancient Roman depravity of the latter. In the early period of that Greco-Roman civilization, these pernicious impulses, which by now have become being impulses, namely the passion for inventing fantastic sciences and the passion for depravity, were inherent in the Greek and Roman beings alone. Later, when, as I have already said, the beings of both these communities chanced to become powerful and began influencing the beings of other communities, those peculiar and unnatural being impulses gradually infected your unfortunate favorites everywhere. This took place, on the one hand, as a result of the persistent influence of these two communities, and on the other, because of that peculiarity of their psyche, common to all the three-brain beings of that planet, and already well fixed in it before this, which is called imitation. And thus, little by little, the psyche of your favorites, already shaky enough before this, has become so unhinged that in all of them, without exception, both their world outlook and the whole ordering of their daily existence rest and proceed exclusively on the basis of those two Greco-Roman inventions. That is to say, on the basis of fantasizing and of striving for sexual gratification. Here it is very interesting to note that although the heritage from the ancient Romans has caused the gradual disappearance from the presence of your favorites of the organic shame proper to three-brain beings, there has arisen in its place something rather like it. In the presence of your contemporary favorites, there is as much as you want of this pseudo-being impulse, which they also call shame, but the data for engendering it are quite singular. This being impulse arises in their presence only when they do something which, under their abnormally established conditions of ordinary being existence, is considered improper to be done in front of others. But if nobody sees them, then nothing they do, even if according to their own consciousness and their own feelings it is undesirable, gives rise in them to any such impulse. The blessings prepared by the ancient Romans have in recent times so permeated the nature of your favorites breeding on all the continents of that ill-fated planet that it is even difficult to say which contemporary community has inherited the most from these obliging Romans.